All right, so this is the last Sunday that we're going to look at the book of Galatians. So turn to Galatians chapter 6, and we're going to wind this up today. I hope you've enjoyed this as much as I have. I hope it's helped you. I hope it's helped you as much as I have. Something to remember, maybe just in your own Bible study, your own Bible reading, is every one of the epistles were meant to be read as a unit together. All right? And I certainly have certain portions that I love, and oh, I love Romans chapter 8, and I love Ephesians chapter 2, and different, you know, 1 John chapter 4, different sections of epistles. I love those, but they were meant to be read all together, all right? And you really only capture the meaning of what the Holy Spirit's trying to instruct the church when you understand from greetings to see you next time at the end of the book, all right? End of that epistle. So Galatians, they were having problems. People were trying to send them back to the law. And Paul made an incredible defense, an incredible point to say, you're not made right with God by going back to the law. You're made right with God when you put your faith in Jesus Christ, okay? And it's only by putting your faith in Jesus that makes you right. And you're a child of God and you have an inheritance. And then there's fruit that comes from your life when you yield to the Holy Spirit of God. How many of you know in the Old Testament that wasn't possible? All right, the Holy Spirit would come upon just select individuals. But now the indwelling presence of the Holy Spirit is available. And so we have the power to yield fruit like love, joy, peace, long-suffering, goodness, all self-control. All right, so we have access to the life of God. Last week we saw the difference between boulders and knapsacks. Did anybody move any boulders this week? All right. How many of you picked up your own knapsack? All right. Did you have any knapsack conversation with other people to say you need to be handling that yourself? Those are your responsibilities before the Lord. All right. So let's, where we left off last week, but let's go ahead and we'll read this whole passage and then we'll come back and look at different sections. All right. Galatians 6, verse 6. Those who are taught the word of God should provide for their teachers, sharing all good things with them. Don't be misled. You cannot mock the justice of God. You will always harvest what you plant. Those who live only to satisfy their own sinful nature will harvest decay and death from that sinful nature. But those who live to please the Spirit, will harvest everlasting life from the Spirit. So, let's not get tired of doing what is good. At just the right time, we will reap a harvest of blessing if we don't give up. Therefore, whenever we have the opportunity, we should do good to everyone, especially to those of the family of faith. Notice what large letters I use to write these closing words in my own handwriting. Those who are trying to force you to be circumcised want to look good to others. They don't want to be persecuted for teaching that the cross of Jesus, cross of Christ alone can save. Even those who advocate circumcision don't keep the whole law themselves. They only want you to be circumcised so they can boast about it and claim you as their disciples. As for me, may I never boast about anything except the cross of our Lord Jesus Christ. Because of that cross, my interest in this world has been crucified, and the world's interest in me has also died. It doesn't matter whether we have been circumcised or not. What counts is whether we have been transformed into a new creation. May God's peace and mercy be upon all who live by this principle. They are the new people of God. From now on, don't let anyone trouble me with these things, for I bear on my body the scars that show I belong to Jesus. Dear brothers and sisters, may the grace of our Lord Jesus Christ be with you, your spirit. Amen. All right, so Paul is saying over and out. Okay, so what I'd like to do, I'd like to look at a few sections, and then I want us to finish and take the majority of our time with that passage that's right there in the middle about sowing and reaping, about not being misled. All right, so first part, verse 6, it says, those who are taught the word of God should provide for their teachers, sharing all things. All right, so this is consistent with other parts of the New Testament that we see in the epistle to Timothy, First and Second Corinthians, that as a church matures and grows, then those who preach and those who serve in a we could say today we would say a full-time capacity, that it is good, it's biblical, and it's right for them to receive financial compensation for their work. All right. So I think we already know that at Miracle Life. All right. We do that at Miracle Life. But I do want to just make mention of this, that we live in a day and age today in 2017 that we get specialists to do work for us, right? All right. I have no intention of learning how to do electrical work. I have no intention learning how to do plumbing. Right. One reason is because I would flunk if I tried, okay? But the main reason is I can hire someone to do that, all right? So I don't have to learn it. I just get an expert to come and do it for me, okay? And so maybe you really don't know a whole lot about bookkeeping and taxes, so what do? You hire it, don't you? All right, maybe you don't not like to take care of your yard, so what do? You hire it. All right, so the problem is we get that mentality in the body of Christ. All right, so, you know, there's a problem, there's a world to save, we got to do some stuff. Well, hey, my tithe is me hiring the experts to do spiritual things. All right, that's not a New Testament concept. All right, I say this at in membership class, those of you who have gone through it, is In Ephesians chapter 4, it says that the work of the ministry gifts is to prepare you for works of service. So you pay me to get you to do the work. Yes, that is a biblical statement. Okay, VBS is a perfect example. 139 people were here serving, loving, giving, taking off work, taking leave. Why? What did they get? A t-shirt. All right, but I think you paid for your own t-shirt, didn't you? Yeah, you paid for your own t-shirt. All right, you got a lunch at the end of the... So it's not a matter of, you know, what can I get out of it? But every person in the body of Christ has a ministry. Every person in the body of Christ has grace to give to other people. Amen? So the New Testament teaches those who serve... Those who are called into a full-time, they should take their job very seriously. They should do their job well, all right? But every single one of you in this building, you can counsel people. You can lead someone to the Lord, amen? You can lay hands on the sick and the sick will recover because you're a believer, amen? All right, so verse 11, we're going to skip over the sowing and reaping. We'll come back to it. Verse 11, notice what large letters I use as I write these closing words. What is Paul saying? I'm using a large font. That's what he's saying. Sometimes he would have a scribe, but he's just telling him, hey, did you notice that I actually wrote this letter in my own hand? All right. And maybe Paul was like me. I don't know how old he was, but these days at age 49, I like large fonts. Okay. So anyway, that's all Paul was saying about that. All right. Verse 12 and 13 He is again reiterating that these false teachers really aren't even consistent in their own life. Okay, they want you to go back under circumcision, back under the law, but they themselves don't even go back under the law. All right, and it really is true today as well. Those who are real law-crazed people, they never go back to the whole of the law. All right, people that I know that don't eat pork, the men still shave. Right, and that is disobeying the law, as much as a bacon pulled pork sandwich is a breaking the law. Amen. All right, and again, especially in Pentecostal churches, we don't really go back under the law except for this one: kill the witches. All right, but the very same people who say kill the witches, they don't go back under the law and say kill all the adulterers. Because they are deserving of death as well. And under the law, you got killed for a lot of things. All right? Miracle Life would not be that big today if we were under the law. All right. I'm telling you. Okay. Probably wouldn't have had to build this building. Okay. So, all right, so then when he closes off, he's saying, okay, really, what's the big deal? All right, the big deal is not about these boasting, the pride that these false teachers have. It's interesting that Paul mentioned that. I noticed that still today, that a lot of wrong teachers and false teachers, it's more about themselves than it is about helping you. All right, it's about bragging about their revelation and how awesome and smart they are, okay? What matters is about being born again, becoming a new person in Christ, all right? Now, Paul is saying that's the big deal. In life as a Christian, one of the most important things that we need to incorporate into our belief system is that what God thinks is a big deal to us. All right. What God really doesn't care about too much shouldn't be that big of a deal to us either. All right. So in our life, in our lifestyle, in our thinking, in the way that we do church, we should never, ever, ever forget that, thank God we're going to heaven, but 80% of Lusaka is not. Okay, do you realize that? Okay, do you realize why there was no traffic jam on the way to church today? All right. There will be tomorrow morning at the same time. The reason why is because 80% of Lusaka is not going to church this morning. 80% of Lusaka does not go to church on a Sunday morning. Fact. All right. Now, it's hard to believe because sometimes just on the way to Miracle Life, we pass 20 Holy Ghost Fire Tabernacle, right? New apostle, old apostle, medium apostle. You know, there are a lot of churches, and that's great. All right, but there is a world that we live in that needs Jesus, and we are the hope. We have the answer. Amen. All right, and really, as we look around the world, and today's news is unfortunately kind of similar to 40 years ago news, is that the world is divided, isn't it? The world is at odds with one another. But when we look into the New Testament, the way that the world divides us and puts us into groups, into camps, God doesn't see the world that way. God sees the world as there are two families. There's His family and those who are not in His family. That's how God sees the world. All right, so if God sees the world that way, guess what? How should we see the world? We should see it the same way. All right, so if we are in the family of God, it doesn't mean we have to have the same surname or the same language or the same type of hair. All right, it means we're blood, we're family. And those who are not yet in the family, they're not our enemies, they are our customers. All right, they are the people that we are to give an invitation to, that you can be in our, God wants you in His big house. God's having a big party and there's still room for you. Amen. All right. So those are the big things. All right. I like what Paul said in verse 17. He said, from now on, don't let anyone trouble me with these things, because I bear in my body the marks of Jesus. All right. And he's basically saying, Galatians, I don't want to talk to you about this again. Parents, have you ever told your kids that? We're not going to talk about this again. Discussion closed. All right. So if your parents ever said that, you're like, okay, got it. Message received. All right, so that hopefully that's what Paul was saying with the Galatians. All right, let's go back to Galatians 6, verse 7. And we're going to spend the bulk of our time here through verse 10. All right, Galatians 6, 7. Do not be deceived. All right, so what does that mean? It means that some are deceived. It means that our ability to be misled is possible. And there's something here that Paul is saying that is so important that he's saying, guys, please don't misunderstand this. Don't believe that what I'm about to say is not right. Don't carry on living as if this isn't true. All right? Do not be deceived. All right? God is not mocked, for whatever a man sows, that will he also reap. Okay? So this is where we have used the term the law of sowing and reaping. God said this to Noah, didn't he? As long as the earth remains after the flood, he said there will be, there'll be night and day, there'll be summer and winter, there will be seed time and harvest. Much of the Bible is agricultural, isn't it? All right. Many of the parables of Jesus were about dirt and trees and fruit and chopping off limbs, right? Not body parts, all right? The pruning a fruit tree, all right? So some of us in this room may have an agricultural mentality. Some are not. The only thing you know about a tomato is where it is at the supermarket, okay? You know, when you buy steak, you're not sure what part of the animal it comes from. You just know that it's delicious, all right? But many, many of us have at least been, or if we don't farm or have a little garden, we at least kind of get the idea that what God is saying is that life is like farming. Life is like farming in that you plant seeds and the seeds grow. And when the seeds grow, there is fruit from those seeds. All right, so mealy seed produces other mealies. Okay, and so he's saying, I want you to think about your life as if you were a farmer, as if you were planting a field or a garden. All right, so verse 7, it just says, what you sow, you will reap. And it says God's not mocked in that he set it up this way, and so it simply will happen. Now he specifies that this planting and harvesting works both in the positive and it works in the negative. All right, verse 8, for he who sows to the flesh will of the flesh reap corruption. All right, this is a reference, and I hope you were here a few weeks ago, when Paul talked about the fruit or the works of the flesh, our carnal desires. All right, the part of us that our mind is not yet renewed. All right, our body that wants things now. How many of your body doesn't know if it's born again? All right, I tell married people this all the time. Your body doesn't know if you're married or not. Your body doesn't know to whom you are married. So that's neat. That's why you got to take your body and put it into the right places. All right? Because if you put your body in the wrong place with the wrong person, your body will just tell you, I've got it. I know what to do now. Thank you very much. Appreciate it. All right, so that's why Paul said, I keep my body under, okay, under my spirit. All right, so when you sow to the flesh, the sinful nature, what's going to be the harvest? Corruption. Most Christians don't sign up for corruption, okay? My life works better when I have a to-do list. All right, most days, except Sunday, typically, I have a handwritten to-do list. I've got a to-do list on my laptop. I've got a to-do list on my cell phone. All right, more to-do list I have, the less than it shrinks in my wife's mind. And she said, amen. Or what she also said was, keep writing. Okay, right? So, but I've never on my to-do list said, today I would like to reap corruption. Today I want to ruin my finances. But here's the thing. How many know sometimes we do reap corruption? Some days or months, or we do ruin our finances. All right, well, how did it happen? Paul said, don't be misled. How did it happen? you got out a packet of seeds called dumb financial decisions. You opened it and you went to your bank account and to your business and to your retirement and you made dumb financial decisions. And then you waited a year, 2 years, 3 years, and up comes the harvest, right? And we say, the devil is attacking my finances. No. The devil was in New York City. Okay? The devil had nothing to do with your harvest. You got the wrong seed out. Okay? But here's the good news, folks. Here's the good news. But he who sows to the Spirit will of the Spirit, different seed packet, what will they reap? Life everlasting. Everlasting life. New Living Translation said blessings. All right? All right, so let's look at this. All right, so when you look at Genesis, when you look at the Bible in its entirety, one of the things that you see when you read Proverbs every day, you will see that God made a cause and effect world. Would you agree? God made a cause and effect world, the first 5 days of creation, and he talked about, you know, I'm creating the earth to bring forth seed. I'm causing the earth to be able to sustain life and fish and animals. And then once he made this cause and effect world, okay, have you noticed all the images from Mars? There are no maize fields on Mars. It's just dust. It's rocks. Because he didn't create Mars to be a cause and effect world. He created the earth to be that way. And then on the sixth day, he put us in it and he said, be a good manager. Cause it to bring forth. Okay? God did not give Adam and Eve food. He gave them the ability to harvest food. He gave them the ability to tend the garden. He gave them the responsibility of a farmer. And he put them in this cause and effect world. All right? We don't know how long they were in it before the earth started producing thorns and thistles, and before the curse came. All right? So we must ask ourselves biblically also, well, wait a second. Is my sowing and my reaping the only source of good and bad in my life? And biblically, we'd have to say, no, it's not the only source, but it is a big source. All right? There are other sources, right? Sometimes we receive good and bad from other people, don't we? All right, and so we want to surround ourselves with godly, good people, all right, and bad people we need to love from a distance so they don't harm us. Amen, all right? We receive good from God when we trust him, all right? Acts of faith. There are some things that affect us just living in a fallen world. I remember the first time when I was a little kid, went with my parents to Southern California. And that's the first time I ever knew about pollution and smog. Oh, my lungs were burning in a few days. Why? Because I was breathing in all this junk. All right? But we live in a fallen world. 7 billion people, mostly who are crazy. Okay? And so that affects us, doesn't it? All right, but we again, we should manage that. There is, the Bible speaks, there is an enemy of our soul, isn't there? Okay, Satan, the tempter, the deceiver. All right, but let's look at how we can be misled. I want to use a couple examples with you today. All right, because again, what did God say? Your life is like a field. Your life is like, you are making decisions either from carnality, an unrenewed mind, sin. You're making those decisions, and then those decisions will feed you. You will eat from that. Or you're making decisions based by the Spirit of God, the love of God, the grace of God, and you will then eat from those decisions one day. All right? So, you determine your harvest based on the seeds that you plant. Okay, please just get, just relax. We're not going to receive a second offering today. Okay? And really, this passage is not a, it's not a money passage. All right? Although it may include that. All right? But just imagine, let's say you have a neighbor. Okay? And you have a neighbor and you've known them, and it's you know, just before the rainy season, and so they're getting a field ready, a portion of where of their plot, and you go over for a visit, and you notice that they have a seed packet and it says maize. All right, or they have a bag and it says maize. And they're planting maize. And you say, "Wow, boy, this is great. How much bags of mealies are you expecting?" And your neighbor says, "Mealies? No. I've got a contract with a trader from DRC. I'm going to be selling him tomatoes." And you say, "Oh, where's your tomato? Where are you going to be planting tomatoes?" "Right here. I'm planting them right now." And you look at his bag again. It says maize. And you say, "Hey, can I see that seed? It's maize." And you're thinking, "Oh my goodness, this guy is planting maize thinking that he's going to reap tomatoes. And he's already planning for a tomato harvest, but he's making the wrong decisions." All right? So you try to explain to him that, "Hey, you know, we've known each other for some years, and man, I'm so glad to hear you got this contract for tomatoes, but have you looked at your seed bag? Have you looked at what it says?" And he says, "Oh, no. You got to understand. That doesn't work. It doesn't work that way for me. It doesn't work that way for me. I'm special. I'm favored by God. I went to the Holy Ghost meeting. I went to the Holy Ghost concert, and Jesus loves me. This I know." "Well, no. See, here's the thing. It doesn't matter who you are. It doesn't matter whether you love God or don't love God. If you plant these seeds, this is the harvest you're going to get," right? He says, "Because what I'm doing is I'm planting maize, but when I'm done, I'm going to decree tomatoes. I decree and declare." Now, how many know it's good to decree and declare? If you've been to this church long, it's good to speak the word of God. It does not change your seeds. It doesn't change what is in the ground, okay? So your conclusion would be, "My neighbor is confused. My neighbor is deceived." It's exactly what Paul said at the beginning of this passage. Don't be deceived. Okay? New Living Translation says, "Do not be misled." New Century Version says, "Don't be fooled." Don't be fooled. But as I was looking at this passage, I realized that there is a lot of the body of Christ, there's a lot of Christianity who have been fooled. They have been fooled to believe that this is not how life works. This isn't how life works. There's a version of life that works for me that does not come from the Bible. Maybe somebody says this to you, or maybe you felt this way. "The devil is attacking my marriage." He's attacking. He's got a helmet and an AK-47. He's got these troops, and he's attacking my marriage. All right? I don't see in the Bible where the devil attacks marriages. Do you? Okay, now, marriage was designed by God, wasn't it? Marriage is designed for our good. All right, so anything that God is or has done, the devil is against. Is the devil against marriage? Absolutely. All right, now, so your marriage isn't under attack, it's under foolishness. It's under deception. It's under the wrong seeds. All right, now, well, but how does the devil work? Well, here's how the devil works in the life of a Christian. All right. The devil realizes that you go to Miracle Life. All right. And it's a church that has marriage seminars, marriage books, preaching, connection groups. Many, many people at Miracle Life are happily married. All right. They're lighting the candle between the two turtle doves. Yeah. All right. There's School for Life, worship nights. There's free marriage counseling at Miracle Life. All right? So you go to a church where, boy, I tell you, if you just eat the right food and start planting new seeds, boy, your marriage can be really blessed. All right? But the devil tells you, don't do that. Don't go to the marriage conference. Don't buy the marriage book. Listen to your grandmother. She knows. I mean, she was divorced 5 times. She knows everything about marriage. Okay. So, instead of planting from God's way, God's version of marriage, you go to your field called your marriage, and you plant bitterness, unforgiveness, comparison. I wish my husband looked like that one. I wish my husband worked hard like that one. Huh? Ego, pride, false versions of marriage, okay? You go outside of marriage. You begin to think that outside of marriage is where my needs will be met, all right? And so we carry on maybe in the sin that we've seen among friends or family, okay? So we begin to work on this deception. We begin to have wrong thoughts. And then we begin to act on these wrong thoughts, all right? And then we begin to plant the wrong seeds in our marriage. We begin to flirt with a non-spouse. We watch the Game of Thrones or other forms of pornography. Yes, I said that, okay? The Game of Thrones is pornography with a dragon. That's what it is. And any believer has no business watching that kind of garbage. Okay? Well, I like it. I enjoy it. Okay? 5 years from now, let's look at the harvest that's going to come in your marriage as you watch rape and perversion. Don't you love coming to church? All right. You begin, now you choose not to forgive. You have unbiblical expectations. Your communication is not full of truth and grace. It's full of anger and lies. You decide to give a silent treatment as a form of punishment. Ladies. All right. Yep. I am so thankful that I married someone who never gives me the silent treatment. Isn't that right, sweetie? That's right. There's no silent treatment. Okay, in our house. Maybe you do this. Maybe you plant the wrong seed and you take a job in another country for 3 years away from your spouse. And then you see them 2-3 times a year. Oh, but Pastor, it's going to be okay. No, that's the wrong seed. That's the wrong seed. All right, then what do? Then you start reaping. You start reaping from the seeds you've planted. Then you get mad at the devil. You get mad at God. You get mad at the church. All right? Anything that's a convenient punching bag, you get mad about. All right, let me say this. All of us that are married, your marriage today is simply a harvest. of the seeds that two people have been planting for years. Nothing more, nothing less. No one else can put those seeds in your garden without your permission. All right? And single people, that's why it is so important to marry someone who carries biblical seed packets with them. Okay? If they don't before you're married, they will not change after marriage. Oh, but Pastor, they go to church. Who cares if they go to church? The devil goes to church, all right? Right? No. They consistently use the Bible in their thoughts and their beliefs, and they make decisions, and you can see it in the way that they live, all right? And then when you come to marriage, and you've got all these other temptations of going another way or yielding to bitterness, yielding to all these other things, you've got two people who will consistently put seeds, Bible seeds, into their marriage. And you will reap a harvest of blessing in your marriage. You will reap a harvest of blessing. Now, if you're the only one planting seeds of godliness, all right, then that's another story, okay? Because there is someone planting other things in your marriage, all right? Maybe you look at your bank account, all right? Payday's coming, but it hasn't happened. Oh, devil, I bind you. I break you over my bank account. Well, have you discovered that the devil doesn't have the PIN code to your bank account? He doesn't have the PIN code. All right. Well, what happened to your bank account? Well, whatever you put in and whatever you took out. Okay. Well, but Pastor, I got invited to 100 kitchen parties and I had, what do you mean had to? Had to. Did they put a gun to your head sideways, No. You chose to. No, I had to. No, that's your problem, is you think you have to. All right? No, you get to. Be a big giver as the Spirit leads you. And the Bible says not under pressure or arm twisting. Okay? So you need to get out of that, you need to do a wrestling move and get out of that twist. Okay? Maybe your heart is bitter. Maybe you mistrust people. Maybe all of your relationships are full of drama. Okay? And again, you're looking for some oil or water or break the curse or yield to the blessed, whatever. No, well, maybe your heart is bitter and your relationships are full of trauma because for 10 years you've been eating from the pig trough of gossip and slander. You eat it and you serve it. Gossip and slander. Have you realized these are things God, He despises? And some of you have them for breakfast and lunch and supper. Some of you right now are tempted, right, on the way out of church. I can't wait to see Sister So-and-so. I'm going to... Yeah. I tell you what. That pastor, he thinks... Eat your pig food. Just keep eating your pig food. I'm going to a new church. A new church won't change your diet because you're going to keep eating pig food. All right? And then you get a harvest and you have a real messed up heart. Okay, so what did God say? Don't be misled. Don't be deceived. This is how life works. All right? So if you think life works another way, stop believing that way. But here's the really cool thing. Do you know that all across our nation, all across Zambia, and maybe more than our neighbors, this is a nation of farmers, isn't it? It's a nation of people who love to farm. And here's the thing. There are people who are going to eat tonight. Their kids are going to be full tonight. And they do not have a grade 12 certificate. But what do they know? They know about sowing and they know about reaping. They know about the place of Zambia where they live, of what works and what doesn't work. All right? And so the cool thing about this is you don't need a master's degree for life to work for you. All you need to do is have the mentality of a farmer. The mentality that what I plant, I will eat from those seeds one day when they come to maturity. All right? Message Bible says, a person who plants selfishness, ignoring the needs of others, ignoring God, will have a harvest crop of weeds. All he'll have to show for his life is weeds. But the one who plants in response to God, letting God's Spirit do the growth work in him, harvest a crop of real life, eternal life. All right, tell your neighbor this is true. All right, so since this is true, now here's the argument of verse 9. So what? So because verse 7 and 8 are true, sowing and reaping is happening in my life right now, whether I believe it or not, whether I want to accept this or not. I am eating today a harvest from years ago's seeds. Okay? So, if all this is true, let's not get tired of doing what is good. Okay? Paul makes a wonderful assumption that Christians are doing good, that Christians are planting the right seeds. At just the right time, we will reap a harvest of blessing. We will. You will. What's the only condition? If you don't give up. If you don't give up. If you don't throw in the towel. If you say, this doesn't work. I'm going to cut corners. I'm going to do things the devil's way. I'm going to compromise. All right? Therefore, whenever we have the opportunity, we should do good to everyone, especially to those in the family of faith. What's he saying? Keep planting. Keep doing good. Keep acting out of your spirit, because there will be a day. Some of you might be familiar with the New King James Version or the King James that says that we reap in due season. In due season. It has the idea that unless you're using irrigation, most people don't harvest maize in October. Why? It's not the season of harvest. There is a time where it's harvest season. All right. Now, I think the trouble sometimes we have is when we are doing good, the seed packet doesn't say when the season is. Okay? It typically, folks, is not overnight. What this passage is saying is it requires perseverance. It requires trusting God's process. It requires trusting God's word. All right? With faith and patience, we inherit the promises. All right? Don't be fooled in the positive, because I think that's sometimes the temptation is, I'm just going to give up. I remember at the old building, we had a time where we had married guys, married ladies, we had single guys, single ladies, and we were doing an afternoon, Sunday, we were talking about life and stuff of life, and I was with the single guys, and there was a young guy there. He's not as young today as he is then, all right? He was single and skinny, all right? Today's not, all right, either, single nor skinny, okay? And he was sharing with these guys how frustrating it was to be at UNSA and to live a pure life sexually. And he was saying how, you know, his buddies and his friends and they're doing all these crazy things and they're making these bad decisions because at that moment he didn't see their harvest. All right? And he was wondering, when am I ever going to get a harvest? When is it ever going to be okay? And he was a little bit frustrated. And we chatted and we cheered him on and we told him he's a champion. But I'll never forget he got married in this church and married his wife. And he talked about that on that wedding night, he gave a wonderful gift to his wife called his virginity. I'm talking about a grown man with a job. Yeah, in Lusaka. Yes. And he talked about how holy it was and how awesome it was and how the presence of God was there in that place. And he told me, Pastor, it was worth it. It was worth it. And now I see him and he's a dad and he's a husband and he honors God and he's been promoted in work. All right? He's a big deal. All right? He's not 22 years old anymore. All right? Guess what? You know what he discovered? You keep sowing. You keep sowing. Does it look like anything's happening? It looks like nothing is happening. It looks like the world is getting all the action and all the fun. You keep sowing and you keep sowing. And what do you get? You get a harvest of blessing. You get a harvest of blessing. Amen. I made the same decision. I made the same decision when I was a single person. I made the same decision about who I was looking for. All right. There were things that attracted to me to my wife other than her skimpy dressing. She didn't have skimpy dressing. Amen. She trusted God. She wanted a man who loved Jesus. You keep sowing. You keep sowing. You keep sowing. Amen. You keep saying no to corruption. You keep saying no to brown envelopes. You keep saying, oh, and you keep driving that Corolla that you need the gift of faith to raise from the dead to get to work. Amen. Huh? You keep saying no to ungodliness. You don't sleep with your boss. You don't sleep to the top. And you get in that taxi that says Jehovah Jireh. And it's got Tanzanian gospel music and the speakers are blown. And you're like this. Huh? And your friend passes you in a BMW 5 Series. Hey, how you doing? Huh? No. You just thank God. I thank you for Jehovah Jireh taxi. I thank you. I'm going to keep sowing. I'm going to keep sowing to the Spirit. I'm going to keep sowing to love. I'm going to keep sowing to holiness and purity. God is not mocked. This is not good advice from pastor. This is Jehovah God Almighty telling you. Don't be misled, but don't give up. Keep sowing the right seeds. Keep living out of your spirit. Keep being led by God. Amen. Well, I wasn't supposed to take this job. The Holy Spirit is just kind of checking me on this. Oh, I'm supposed to do this. I'm supposed to do that. Amen. Keep making the right decisions. Oh, and one day, there will be a harvest. There will be a harvest. Amen. And it's not about for your enemies to live long enough to see your blessings. Okay. No. It's to let God be true and every man a liar. Amen. And it's not allowing other influences to get into my heart and my mind. Amen. I'm going God's way. I'm going God's way because God is true. Amen. How many of you over the age of 35 in this place can say, not only do I believe that this is true from God's word, I've seen this in my own life. I've seen this in my... Just look up there. Just raise them real, real high. Real, real high. Real, real high. Everybody under the age of 35, just look at these hands. Look at these hands. God's word works. He honors his people. Amen. He honors the word of God. Brother Hagin used to say this. It doesn't cost, it pays to serve God. The only problem, and he said this, the only problem is he doesn't pay at the end of the month. It pays. It pays to serve God. Amen. Some of you know the story. My wife and I, we weren't initially thrilled when we got the transfer orders from Johannesburg sushi capital of Africa to Lusaka, all right? But guess what? It pays. Oh, it pays to serve God. God is not mocked. God used this nation to mold our children. They're the head and not the tail. They're in demand wherever they go. They're incredible. And one of the reasons is because they breathe the air of this nation. And they were here, and God used this place. Oh, it pays. It pays. It pays. It pays to serve God. Don't give up. Don't give up. Amen. If you're a young lady here and you say, where are all the godly guys? Where are all the godly guys? Well, stay for second service. And wait for the men's conference picture. And just take some notes, okay? Make sure they're single. And then wow them with your fantasticness. All right. Get the right seed packet out, folks. Okay? I think we'd all have to admit there are times in our life where we've had the wrong packet, haven't we? All right. Put that one down. Pick up a new one. And just watch God do His thing. Amen. Let's pray. Father, we love You. We are so thankful, Lord, that really when we look at Your Word and we understand You, God, you haven't made it that complicated. You haven't made it that difficult for life to work for us. Father, may we continue to understand and realize, Jesus, what You kept saying a lot, the kingdom of heaven is like this. And that we understand, God, more who You are, how You operate, and then how we operate with You in response to how You made life to work. And Father, I pray for folks, Lord, for some of us who have regret from unplanted seeds, wrong seeds. Father, I thank You that repentance and redemption and restoration, Father, that there are new fields, new harvests for us. God, life is not over yet. And we look at people like the Apostle Paul and others, Father, that You redeemed their life from destruction. They were on such a wrong, damaging road. And Father, yet everything changed with You. Father, help us to yield to You and to You only. And Father, we bless You and we thank You that You are true and that You're good. With every head bowed, every eye closed, You're in this place. The Apostle Paul said this, what matters is a new creation. That's what matters. Church attendance doesn't matter. Infant baptism doesn't matter. What matters is a new creation. If you're here today and you're not a new creation, you're not born again, you can be. You can say yes to Jesus Christ. If you're backslidden and you're far away from God, you can come home today because He loves you so much. He cares for you. If you're here and you say, Pastor, maybe I've relied on religion or my good works, but I realize today I need a Savior. I need a new beginning. Or I'm a backslidden Christian and I need forgiveness. I need to come home. If you're here today and you're saying yes to Jesus Christ, I'd like to pray with you. And so that we can, I'd ask you to lift up your hand on the count of three. One, two, three. Just lift up your hand. Say, Pastor, that's me. God bless you, ma'am. Who else? Over here, thank you, sir. Over there, thank you, sir. Who else would say, that's me? I want to give my heart to Jesus Christ. I want to follow Him today with all my heart, with all my soul. Thank you, ma'am. Can we all stand to our feet? Thank you, sir. Let's all stand to our feet. If you lifted up your hand, what I'd ask you to do right now is grab your belongings, anything you came to church with, and just come and meet me up front. Just come and meet me up front. God's going to come into your life. He's going to make everything brand new. He's going to do exactly what He said in His Word that He would do for you. God bless you, sir. Thank you so much. God bless you. Thank you for coming, ma'am. God bless you. Thank you. Thank you for your decision today. God bless you. God bless you. All right. Thank you. God bless you so much. Thanks for coming. Thank you. Now, what we'd like to do, we'd like to pray with you individually. Wonderful, wonderful. We'd like to pray with you individually. There's some people that would like to connect with you, show you from the Bible what you're about to do, and we're going to trust God together, and you're going to be born again. If you would turn to your left, Hope here. Hope has got a clipboard and a Bible. If you would just follow her to a place of prayer, if you would just go that way. Thank you so much. Appreciate it very, very much. All right. As we pray today, if you have a need in your life, we've got people up front that would love to minister to you and pray with you. And so please feel free. Anything that's going on, God has an answer. And we connect with God through prayer. And these folks would love to be able to do that with you today. Let's pray. Father, thank you so much for your love for us. Lord, that you show us from your word so clear who you are and what we do and how we respond to you. God, help us to live out this message in our daily life, Father, with patience, with perseverance, and with faith in our heart toward you. Father, bless each one as we go our way. Father, bring us back tonight, Father, with a heart full of expectation to receive from you in Jesus' name. Amen and amen. God bless you. You're dismissed. Hurry, hurry, get to your car. All right. Thank you for staying.